Woo!
Hello? Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
It's literally good night. Guys, we are backstage. It's backstage with Jace. Let's be 100% honest about it. It's not really backstage, is it?
No, it's not backstage. This is the, I believe, the Calvin Klein Lounge of the Barclay Center.
Are you talking directly in the mic? Talk directly into this
side.
No, 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 no. The Audio Technica.
Yeah,
talk right into it, though. Close
that's
to it.
I'm talking. Hello?
Okay, that's better.
You don't have headphones? You can't hear me?
Yeah, can I get my headphones, Mike, please? I feel like a lunatic out here.
Hello?
So, Saif, first of all, how are you?
I'm good.
You good? I appreciate us attempting to
good,
do this.
Good, good.
It was easy to fall apart. We gave it a shot.
I only agreed because I didn't think it would happen. And then when you got the clearance, I was like, fuck.
I knew that would happen. Gotta tell you, I felt the same way. I did not think this was going to happen at all. And guess what? It still might not happen.
Well, it's the only thing that has happened if we got passes. We're not going to get any famous Def Jam guests.
Hold on. Not only when you're saying we got passes, also, let me just be clear. The worst passes I've had in several years.
What is this pass?
It says press pass on it.
Oh, press pass.
That's not what you want.
Are we press? Who comes to the press room?
I mean, we're press, but the thing is you want all access because what I was hoping for was to wander around.
Which older Def Jam artist that's not promoting any record is going to come into the press room?
None. But they're going to be in the dressing rooms. That's why I was hoping we could
just meander. Why don't we go down there?
I don't know if this is going to get us there.
Oh,
we could try to
just Bogart.
You want to just try to walk and do it? We could try.
Who's
just give it a little stroll.
Jacket? What? Bopping in all like she got something to do. What the fuck are you doing?
What kind of question is, who is this chick with a leather jacket?
Who is she? She bopped in like there's something important going on.
She bopped?
Yeah, she was like, oh, I got to get over to this press room.
Oh, there's a lot
going
on.
Press happening.
There's a lot of press happening. Actually, we're going to talk to some of the press. We're going to probably end up interviewing the press. That's all we're going to be able to do. Hey, Mike, will you get me a drink? Do you want a drink of some variety?
No, I'm okay, thanks.
We'll see if they'll give me a vodka soda or something.
Hey, Mike, see if you get me like...
Some radishes. See if they have radishes.
Like six limes pieces. They're going to make a lime.
He's going to bring that for you.
I need it.
Okay.
I got to eat a fruit right now.
How is your diet going these days?
Nah, buddy? I don't want to talk about it.
You fell off? You look good.
No. There's too many negative vibes around people talking about diets.
What are you
going to do it by myself?
What do you mean? What are the negative vibes that are happening?
That shit don't work. Don't do that. Do this. Oh, music's starting. Perfect. Don't do that.
Perfect.
Do this. My wife did this. My cousin, he's a fat fuck, but he did this. He lost 8 pounds.
And you're like, shut up.
Oh, good.
Hey, I have a question. Why are they playing music in the media room?
This is the lounge, the Calvin Klein lounge.
Yeah, but there's no one else but media here.
It's Rump Shaker. It's not even a Def Jam.
It's not
record.
Even Def Jam. Is there a Def Jam connection to Rump Shaker?
No.
Nope, not particularly.
Is it Rump Shaker? Yeah, it's Rump Shaker.
It is Rump Shaker.
No Def Jam connection.
All right, so I want to tell everyone real quick the...
Are you from London? Are you from London? Oh, sorry.
Why'd you randomly guess that?
I thought I knew her from London.
You mean like when people came up to me recently at a club?
And she has the Nikes that they are from Europe. The Air Max is from
you guys almost
from
got,
Paris.
You almost got
from
some
Paris.
Vintage London dropping by Cypher Sounds.
Hi.
What'd you say? Hi. How are you?
Listeners.
So Juan Epstein?
Yeah. And I sent you an email and you replied and we went back and forth a little bit.
Really? That's
you're the girl with the leather jacket that just bopped in.
You just got made fun of on Juan Epstein.
I didn't make
fun
of.
Why'd you make fun of me?
I said you walked in with a purpose, like there's actually something going on around here.
Yeah, I had to tell somebody something.
Oh.
I work at the label now, but when I was...
At Def Jam?
Yeah. What,
you want to tell them to put on Def Jam music in here?
Or no music because it's a media room? But sorry, keep going.
You're right, actually. No music.
Yeah, why would they? It's all people going to be recording. There's no point in having music in here.
You know what? A lot of stuff is going on that doesn't make sense, so that would actually make sense that this
right.
doesn't make sense.
Honestly, it's going to be the... Let's
Mercury's in retrograde.
Two things.
Mercury's
one,
in retrograde.
Two things.
Don't make
Trust
any
me, I know. What's
major
up, my
life
brother?
Decisions
What's
right
good?
Now, 'cause Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh, no, I know. Mercury. Not only is Mercury in retrograde, but let's be clear about something. Mercury is always in retrograde at Def Jam. I just want to be clear about that. Mercury's always in retrograde at Def Jam.
At Def Jam?
It's constantly stuff going on.
Yeah, stuff. Oh, you know what's funny?
Hey, thank you for being one of our first listeners, though. That's amazing.
Sure. And I actually, it was me and someone else who discovered you guys together. His name is Alito Noenstein, and he wrote to you. He's like a real Juan Epstein. He's
like
a Puerto Rican Jew.
Yeah.
We love our mascots.
Yeah.
Our mascots out in these streets. Hey, good luck
but
surviving tonight.
M-A-S-S, mass. Mascots. Get it? That's fucking hot.
Mascots.
Write that down, Gabby. M-A-S-S-C-O-T-S.
By the way, there is a person that writes things down when Sife says write
this down. M-A-S-S-C-O-T-S. The Mascots.
So, let me tell you about the end of...
Fuck!
Let me tell you what Billy Jr. told me the other day. When we last left you, Billy Jr. was making out with a girl in the club. You can see the video on my Instagram, Rosenberg Radio.
Why don't I put up stuff like that? I don't know why.
I didn't do it until we put up the new podcast yesterday. I was like, you know what? Because we talk about it on the podcast. Let the video live. I should have sent it to you. So Billy Jr. is like, I see him and he comes up to me, interrupts me, of course. That's all Billy Jr. does. And he comes and goes, yo, I just wanted to tell you something. Johnny, we're going to have you come up here later so you can leave our podcast again. Should we be looking at you or being natural? Should we be looking or being natural? We don't know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know what to do with my hands. So, Johnny, do you want to come hang out in a little bit?
Yeah, I want to tell you a quick story. This is a true...
This is Johnny Nunez, who you may remember from 7 minutes of Juan Epstein 6 months ago.
This is a true improv story. This is a Cypher Sound improv story. I was actually trying to tell him this story for his actual show, but, never happened. But one of my boys got beat up by Dave Chappelle's bodyguard. His name was Mustafa. And
Your friend's name was Mustafa?
No, Dave Chappelle's manager/bodyguard.
Yeah, Mustafa.
So I met Cypher Sound like 17 years ago, and we would cordially say hello to each other. But at the time, he was DJing this party at a bar called Bar None for Dave Chappelle.
Bar None.
So when my boy called me and said, "Yo, Johnny, I just got beat up." Dave Chappelle. I said, "What happened?" Dave Chappelle's bodyguard beat me up. He stopped my camera up. I'm like, fuck that. I called my man Los Hood to come with me because I wanted to see this same bodyguard do the same thing to me.
Right.
But I wasn't having it. So I go to the Bar None and I start shooting Dave Chappelle. Immediately, just like clockwork, bodyguard comes and says, "Yo, who are you?" I said, I'm one of Dave Chappelle's photographers. He goes, "I don't know who the fuck you are. You got to come out right now and I need your camera." I said, "You ain't touching my camera." We start getting into a riff and before you know, like five big dudes come around me to beat me up. And one guy said, "Yo, that's Johnny Nunez. I don't think you want to do that." They said, "Well, then who do you know here?" I'm like, I look, and it's Cypher DJing. I'm like, ask Cypher. I know him.
Oh,
and
shit.
In my mind, I'm praying that Cypher will hold me down.
And he did.
No, he didn't.
I didn't?
All I saw was Cypher going to do.
Hold on, TMD, come here for 1 second. Johnny,
I said no.
And then, okay.
Hold on, we have to cover your story. No, no, but don't leave. I want to hear the end of the story and how Cypher Sounds left you hanging, but we don't know if we'll get him
What's
again.
Up, Yo.
What's good? Long Island, man.
One of my favorite people in the rap game ever in history. My namesake. Or no, am I your namesake? What's his namesake
bring
after
it back
or before?
To the college days. Bring it back to the college
he's
days.
He's your namesake.
He's my namesake?
Yeah,
I took
before
my name.
Before he blew up, he was a little PMD.
Yeah. Exactly. And I've known this guy since all the way back then. How you been, Paris Smith?
Yo, been doing good, man. Hip hop's been very good.
Yeah, what have you been up to these days?
Yo, we've been on the road doing the Master of the Ceremonies, covering a couple of shows, and then also working on my solo project, which should be out in 2015.
And how are you in Long Island still?
Yeah, still out there in Long Island. I'm between Long Island and Charlotte.
How is
Charlotte?
Sife, isn't your mom
my
there?
Mom lives in Charlotte. Say hi to her. And she used to live in Long Island.
Well,
what the fuck?
Big
you're not banging my mom,
are you?
Are you
Sife's mom?
Nah.
You piece of shit.
I gotta
you
watch this guy.
My mom's name is Jane, motherfucker.
You're a real comedian, so I ain't even gonna try to mess with you, my man.
PMD. Talk about PMD. Talk
my
about
mom's
being
name
here.
Is Jane. Talk, I just said that.
Why'd you make that up?
I said that.
You excited for the Def Jam 30 show? It's an interesting lineup. It's a weird hodgepodge of Def Jam artists. Well, what's the mood like for you guys going on tonight?
Yo, I think it's dope because we done did about like 15 shows, so we got a couple of pickup games under our belt.
Yeah.
And it's just it's like a conglomerate of like with
this,
our
this show is more than what's on the Masters of Ceremony tour, right?
There's no question.
There's
you know?
More.
So it's kind of like this era colliding with our era, which is kind of dope. It's mixing up all the energy.
Do you have a place in your heart for Def Jam? Because remember, you came from Sleeping Bag.
Yeah, there's no question.
Okay.
But on Sleeping Bag, we was managed through Rush because Run wanted us.
So you always
Run's
had a connection.
Tour. And then after Sleeping Bag went down, then that's when Russell picked us up and we dropped Business as Usual.
Good album.
If EPMD was to get... If EPMD was to get...
I'm mad.
Sife.
Sorry.
Here's a little story.
If EPMD was inducted to the Hall of Fame, who would you go... Which label would you go into the Hall of Fame with? Like if it was a basketball team, which label would you go to the Hall of Fame with?
Well, what album would put him in the Hall of Fame?
That's a great question.
Probably, I'd say the second, probably.
Wow, really?
Even though
I don't know, but the first one, you could say the first one.
Every song's a hit on the first. I mean, everyone is a hip-hop hit on the first one.
Twin.
Yo, DJ Twins is here, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know which one.
It doesn't. They're DJ Twins.
Oh, both of them.
They're
here. I didn't see Rich Ray. Rich Ray.
Oh, you got what up, man? Oh.
I never met you, man. I wanted to meet you for a long time.
It was a real embrace.
Is there a problem?
No, it's cool. It's never a problem.
Wait, did you?
Not on camera.
Okay. What's your why? What would you not like me for? All right, was it strong? Was it warm? But the pinch under the arm is
We saw the main up. We just wanted to scare you out. We saw the main up skit. We know you shook a Brooklyn niggas.
No, listen, man. That man was a skit.
DJ Twin. No, I want to get you for my improv show. I'm just remembering.
Well, I would imagine. Hold on. By the way, peace. Handle your business. You got to do your stuff.
I'm right here.
All right. So what would you say then, finally? I want to ask you guys a couple questions, too. But what would you say, which album for you would put you in the Hall of Fame? And then, accordingly, which label?
That would be a hard one, because if the first one, Strictly Business, is the one people know, but then Unfinished
Business. Well, 30 Days Later, the shit went gold.
Gold, that's Unfinished Business, but then Business As Usual had I'm Mad and Rampage with Cool J. So what do you do?
It's the E and I'm smoking.
And Crossover was a huge,
wow,
was the biggest hit.
Smoking.
Yeah, that's tough, man. /Def Jam.
That's number two.
It's a cop out, but I'll take it. Yo, it's good seeing you, man.
Yo, congratulations on your success, too.
You too, bro.
What'd he go with? I didn't hear it.
He copped a plea. He said, sleeping bag, Def Jam.
Hey, that's what I got to go with.
I mean, what time are you guys getting on tonight?
10:34.
I'm there. I'm at the stage at 10:34.
That's a 10:04.
Pete, hold on. I need your info. I want you to do my improv show. I'll explain it to you later. Can you put your phone numbers right there?
I also could have given you his phone number.
Oh, you have his phone number?
I do.
Get out of here.
PMD and I have, we have the same name. We have the same name originally.
Super honest, though. I got the illest.
That's what I need.
Okay, cool. Right.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's the thing. We don't have time to do like a full in depth right now. Obviously, you guys have to
talk with you anytime. I've been waiting.
I don't know why we never had them. These are my guys.
Yeah, this is like, so this should just be a teaser for us doing a real conversation. So, Syph, what would you say? What would you give people a teaser with for DJ Twin?
Oh, I don't know. That's too much. I mean, I would go from what I know, the Memph Bleek record in the tunnel. The reaction, the Memph Bleek record in the tunnel, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I was with them around Redman and all that, but from what I know, for them, touching the beat machines and the tunnel going crazy, you know what I'm saying?
What's this little story you're telling us right now? What is this story?
Not just like a crazy night when that record was the hottest tunnel record. Dan-an, 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 dan-an.
Flex coming in at the crack at 1 o'clock. Big Cap cracking that mic. Stupid.
Syph,
you're still in Pennsylvania, though. You wasn't here yet.
I was in Maryland. I was a long way away. I was a long way away from the tunnel. Well, we
would start over.
Syph, you need to. Can you, like, give him something? Give him some radishes. He needs to calm down. All right, so at some point, we need to have you guys come in and give us the full DJ Twins story.
Absolutely, man. I've been waiting for that, man, because I know you're a Redman fan. I was waiting for you to call me. Syph said if I ever had a problem with you, just tell you all my Redman stories, and it'll be all good, you know, because you were such a Redman fan.
Oh, of course. I don't understand. You know, listen, I've been on a long time. God knows how I could have offended millions of people, but I'm saying DJ Twins. Why? You guys are part of my history.
Yeah, I don't wear my heart on my sleeve.
I know.
I got thick skin, you know what I'm saying? And Luis Diaz right here, this is my man.
I know how
this
they started.
My pit bull brother right here. So
if I'm not mistaken.
Good, always.
If I'm not mistaken, Pump Up the Jam is in there. Technotronics DJ.
Technotronics.
Pump Up the Jam.
Wait, you guys DJ for Technotronic?
DJ for Technotronics. We met Redman at NASA Coliseum opening up for Madonna on the Blonde Ambition Tour, nigga, 22,000.
That's how they met Redman.
That's how we got the job.
You know, when they met.
He saw us doing solos on the Madonna tour.
It made your eyes go, wow.
Well, that's a crazy story.
But you watched the Blonde Ambition tour, didn't you? Truth or Dare?
Wasn't there a movie around that? Truth or Dare movie?
The whole time, like while they were shooting the shit. We ain't in it, but.
So was Technotronic the first big thing you guys did DJ-wise, like out on the road?
Absolutely. Leo Cohen gave us our job. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Leo Cohen and Scratch.
Yeah.
And it was like. It was Scratch's job, actually. But, you know, we his little brother, so we was at all auditions and all that for him. Unfortunate for him, fortunate for us, EPMD came up with a show the same day that Technotronic was supposed to do Saturday Night Live, and he was in a pickle. And he was like, what the fuck I'm going to do? Oh, my brothers, they know the shows. They've been at all the rehearsals. We picked it up, ran with it, never looked back.
Wait, he was DJing for Technotronic.
They wanted him. They wanted him.
But he had an EPMD show, so they got to do Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? When we when you had to do
Felicia Keys and all that.
Felicia Keys, and you had to pick with Hot 97 or, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it
was like, a fucking stupid gig.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so Scratch had a gig. We wound up filling in for him, and then, you know, Technotronic wanted to keep us so that it wouldn't happen anymore. They only had a budget to pay one DJ because they was trying to pay Scratch, and we were 16 at the time. I'm like, fuck.
One adult DJ equals two 16-year-old DJs. Yeah. It's a great price.
Half, we'll do this shit together.
Well, what I really will enjoy about us doing the DJ Twins One Ep at some point is because not only is there the incredible hip hop story, but then there's the twin angle, which we've never explored on a One Epstein.
No,
no,
nobody, nobody's been a twin.
We're gonna be the realest niggas that ever came on your show too, though.
Where you guys live? Where you guys live? Jersey.
Okay, see, that's the misconception.
Wow, what? Wow.
I didn't know. Let me explain why I asked that. Only because most everyone in rap has moved to Jersey over the last several years.
Oh, live?
We lived in Edgewater for a stint.
Oh, live?
I said, where do you live?
Oh, they thought it from.
I said, where do you live?
No, because Redman is from Newark, New Jersey, and we're from Brooklyn. Everybody thought we was from Jersey. We're from Brooklyn, though.
But yeah,
but we lived in Edgewater for a stint.
Believe me, I could tell when we met for the first 5 seconds you were from Brooklyn. Okay, I had no questions. Right?
But you know, now we own property in other places where the taxes ain't so high.
Exactly, exactly, and that's what brings us there. All right, so at some point you guys have each other. You have the math situation.
Same numbers.
We have phone numbers.
Yeah, numbers.
I don't know. We don't talk enough though.
You guys, Sife, I have to say, you guys seem like you have a real relationship. Like you've known each other for a long time.
It's funny. Oh, we don't talk enough, but every time I see
him. We had that first Tahoe with the sirens on it, though. That's my guy.
Ah, I missed that.
You got rid of it?
Yeah. You didn't get rid of that car.
I had to.
Pull over. Yeah.
I had to.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? Oh, okay. We'd love to talk to Gabrielle Union. She wants to come talk to us. We'd love to say hello.
We're in the middle of
that car, man. You're supposed to keep that. That's the story.
I tried. I tried hard to keep it.
And listen, Sife's a hoarder. He tries to keep everything.
It was stuck in a back my dude's backyard, four flats, wouldn't start. Had to get it towed. Had to give him the truck just for the tow. It was crazy. I tried to keep it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we got a lot to talk about. I took Nina Sky to Angola. You know what I'm saying? No, you know what I'm saying?
Angola.
Sife, do you remember that?
No, I didn't go. I didn't go on the road with them like that.
No, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
He looked out for your people and brought them to Angola.
Some money. We got a lot of things to talk about.
What's happening, man? Long time no see. How you been, bro?
Wait, what are we doing?
I think we're going to talk to Gabrielle Union.
Where? How?
Hey, I thought we also had another recorder, Maritza, a second audio recorder. Yeah, she'll sit right next to you. Let her sit next to you. Talk in your microphone.
Oh, you're recording again?
Yeah.
You paused it. Yeah.
God, Sife, did you think DJ Twins were about to beat the shit out of me?
What, did I think they were going to?
Yeah.
No. I spoke to them. They could, though.
We just had a nice conversation. They just kept it very honest.
They're very real dudes.
Yeah, they wanted to tell me. Well, you know what? We'll get into it on the podcast when they come in. But basically, they had mixed feelings on me at first, but I grew on. God, how many people did you save me with? Let's just be honest about it. A handful. A few handfuls.
You said you just came on abrasive.
I was pretty brash back in those days. So, I didn't finish. When we last left you.
Okay.
Billy June.
I just want to say this is all over the place. Go ahead.
It's going to be. People are going to, you know, they went through the Summer Jam one. So when Billy Jr. left that night, he ended up going back to the hotel with the girl. He hung out with the girl.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. She was there on vacation.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, so I hung out with her afterwards. And she told me, she said, I want to go to your house and I want to smoke weed and fuck you.
That's what she said.
That's what she said to him.
What, she wanted to go to his house?
I tried to get her to talk to you guys. She said it's dangerous to talk to you.
Gabby, come talk to us. Why? We're not. That's Ebro. The
so
only person
you don't listen because you would know we weren't dangerous. Gabrielle Union saying she's afraid to talk to us.
I've never. Why would we be afraid? Well, that's called a blow off.
Huh?
That's called a blow off.
A blow off?
Yeah.
In wrestling, is that a wrestling term?
Oh no, blow off.
No. Hey Gab, why did five people tell us you were coming in the room and we should talk to you, and then now she doesn't want to talk to us?
What?
Was that late? Hey, what happened? No, I thought you told us she was coming. There's a lady here.
I thought she was friends with Ebro.
Do you see my...
Here's my question I have.
You can see me? You can see my smugness?
Absolutely.
Watch this.
Here's my question.
Why did five people interrupt us saying she was coming in the room?
And then she blew us off. She blew off... Hey, if you were afraid before, don't listen to the show tomorrow. People always, that's the worst mistake. By the way, what would you be afraid of with us?
Well, I don't know.
What in history
it's
has
dangerous.
Happened that's made you afraid that we've gossiped, that we've done something to someone?
The only
what
thing
has
is Nicki
happened?
Minaj, that's it.
So don't make a bad pop song I don't like. What are you worried about? I don't even understand.
She made a pop song. It's like,
that was crazy. Yes, Mike.
Gabby.
What do you say? Oh, we'll see. We look forward to it. I'll be waiting with bated breath. Okay, we'll see.
They're going to come back on my dick.
All right, Sai.
Who's that?
Come,
Red
I don't
Man?
Know.
Is that Redman?
Yeah, probably.
My dick.
Okay, so.
All right, Billy Jr.
All right, stop slapping because the mic is getting. You are hyper today. You're out of control. Like,
you know what it is? The energy. Oh, she is coming back.
We'll see. Hold on. She's coming back
this way.
She's
holding hands with Becas. Steve Bartles, the president of Def Jam. Steve Bartles, I love you. I love you, Steve Bartles.
Steve Bartles, Sean Pecos. It is a Def Jam.
Steve Bartles.
I am right here. It's Def Jam 30, Cypher Sounds. Nice to see you, sir.
Nice to meet you, man.
Promo guy. I love this guy.
What up, Pecos? How are you, bro?
Hi, Pecos. I was a promo guy, too.
Pecos, I heard you're... Oh, man.
Pecos, you're... Really? Can you ask Gabrielle Union why she's scared of us? Good. Hey, can you find out why she's scared of us? I don't even understand what just happened.
Steve Bartles. You know why I like Steve Bartles?
Did he? I don't think he knew who I was.
No?
He just said, nice to see you, sir.
Steve Bartles, president of Def Jam.
Okay.
The man who got Kanye on Oprah, ladies and gentlemen. Come say hello.
This is the man who got Kanye on Oprah?
Just say hello. No, it's podcast.
Hello, people.
Tell who you are.
What's up, man?
Gabe Tesserero, Def Jam Recordings.
Oh, Gabe,
publicist.
Yes. What's up, man? Peter Rosenberg,
famous,
how are you?
Famous publicist.
Yes, publicist
of the
stars.
I don't know why I was in the office when he said he got Kanye on Oprah. I was in the office.
That must have been an exciting moment to get Kanye on Oprah.
I can't remember, but as long as... Yeah.
But you remember. Yeah. Cypher remembers it very well.
It was something to me. It was
wasn't
shit
he,
to Gabe.
Wasn't he standing next to us at that Kanye listening? You were like, yo, you should talk to that guy.
I have to leave now.
All right.
Go ahead, bye-bye. Steve Bartles, I love you.
Sife, he's not paying attention anymore.
Steve
he's
Bartles
walking
is
away.
Great. Let me tell you why I like Steve Bartles.
Please tell us.
He took over being president of Def Jam. He took Lior's old office. And Lior had a panic button under his desk. And Steve Bartles disconnected it because he made him feel like, why should I be scared of my artists? And disconnected it and was always one up front with his artists.
There was a panic button?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, you say if you drop gems, you don't even realize you're dropping.
Nah, I forgot about it until I saw him.
Def Jam panic button?
Def
Who knew?
Def Jam panic button. You know what I'm saying? No, not Lior. Sorry.
Okay,
not
yeah,
Lior.
Not Lior.
L.A.
L.A. Reid.
L.A. L.A.
Big correction.
L.A., yes. L.A. Reid.
Is that an official Cypher Sounds correction?
Official. Put it in Wikipedia.
Put it in Wikipedia so you know it's official adjacent. All right, so Billy Jr. goes to hang out with the girl.
Yes, goes to her hotel.
I think goes to the hotel because she said she wanted to stop by her hotel or something, blah, blah, blah. Make a long story
but
short.
Why didn't they just fuck in her hotel? Why do you have to go to...
Well,
have to go to,
okay. She leaves for a moment. Billy Jr. goes to find her.
Where, the club?
No, in her hotel, okay. In a room somewhere. I could be messing up because when Billy Jr. talks, I stop paying attention.
It's fine.
But the point of the story you have to remember is this. She said she wanted to fuck Billy June. She made out with him that night.
Right.
He went to go find her and have sex. Yeah. And she was passed out covered in vomit. How good is that?
That's awesome.
Oh, I thought I was pretty happy about that.
That is awesome. Hey, Warren G's on stage.
Oh, see.
The show has started.
Yo, man. If they could just bring people like that directly here, it'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
It's a guy from Spotify wandering around.
Huh?
Camera guy asking us a question.
Sorry? Are we rolling? Yeah.
Yeah, we're always rolling.
Why?
You can do whatever. Doesn't matter.
It's a podcast. Oh, what's up? No, it's fine. You can say what's up.
Sorry,
yeah,
man.
It's nothing.
Hopefully someone's going to come up and tell us that another A-list star doesn't want to talk to us. Sife, what do you
covered
think?
Covered in vomit. That's it?
Yeah, that's the end of the story. What do you think is the real reason why people will be scared to talk to us? What's the real reason? Is it because I'm...
Yes. They think they only know you from YouTube and bad press. They know you from Nicki Minaj, Chuck D.
I don't think Gabrielle Union knows that one.
Why not?
The Chuck D thing?
Yeah.
Maybe.
If it's on like TMZ or one of those sites, Bossip or some shit, that's all they know of you. You're painted in a they don't live in New York and you're painted in a plus the other people talk bad about you, the other station.
Oh, right.
Talk bad about you around these people. So it's all built up.
That's a
you give a fuck. That's your problem.
Yeah, why?
You give a fuck. Gabrielle Union don't want to talk to me. It's fine. I don't care.
Well, they're all the things you guys were going to do together in life.
Huh?
I said they're all the things you were going to do together.
Yeah, you know, who knows? We might still do them. But with a microphone, recording with a camera, she might, you know.
That's a good point,
or
too.
Or it could be bullshit. But I'm just saying, like.
Who cares? Just the point is, who cares?
A morning show nonsense.
Yeah, morning.
And other people, the other show hangs out with them. So, you know, they don't really badmouth us, like, but they drop seeds.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course they do.
But it's all good. I got this new joke I do with Charlamagne now.
You do? You have a Charlamagne joke?
Yeah. It's just like.
A specific audience, of course, for it.
Yeah. But if I'm like, I always act for a moment like I'm not doing good. And then I go, oh, yeah, motherfuckers tweeting Charlamagne right now. They love it. It opens them up.
Because right.
They want to know. Like, I say Ebro stole my job. I say Angie left. I took her shit. Took all her shit. Ran up in that room. Took her shit.
Do we want what, Mike? Sure. If he wants to come sit over here and be bored with us.
Who?
Hey, Semtex.
Semtex.
Come say, yo, Wicked.
It's my good friend from London, yeah?
Yo, my mate Semtex going to come say hello
to
us.
My brother?
Have a seat, man. What's up, Semtex?
Yeah, what's up? What's going on, man?
I haven't seen you in a while, man.
Yeah, we haven't. Like, I normally bump into you every year, but it's like it's been a couple of years.
No, I haven't been to London in a while.
Well, also,
when I went, I didn't call you because I don't really like you.
Fair enough. Semtex also going to Hollywood.
You what?
Semtex Hollywood, man.
Oh yeah,
he's out
Hollywood.
Here. Look at him. He's all black.
He's Dr. Semtex now.
He's the, you know, he's a.
What are you doing here? You still work at Def Jam?
Yeah, I'm here to check out like the 30th anniversary. So.
You still work there though in London?
Doing my thing, man.
Semtex stays in these streets.
Yeah, doing my thing, man. Doing
yo,
my
what thing. Can we do? We've never been to London. I've never been to London.
Syfe's been to London.
Syfe's been a million times.
But Syfe, he's got his other friend. His other friend can show him around.
Oh, no. Oh, by the way, why don't you and I team up against Westwood? Why, you want to team up?
Nah, I'm cool, man. Let Syfe do that.
No, Syfe's teamed up with him. It'll be a tag team match. Me and you. Because Westwood felt like burying me after being cool with him always. He literally turned on me like a fucking...
Nikki,
yes!
That's how he does.
I know.
Again, you give a fuck.
I only gave a fuck a Jace.
He's turned on me many times. I just don't care.
Last time
I went to London, it wasn't because of him, but I called him. He's like, I'm doing a party. The equivalent of I went to like Jersey, like an hour away. I had a fucking ball, yo. It was fucking Jersey chicks, but the London version.
Are you ever going to tell?
No, it wasn't Jersey, because there is a Jersey in England.
But not that Jersey.
You know what I'm talking about. It was like Strotham or something.
Have you ever told the story of your, we won't get into it now, but your relationship with Westwood?
I'm cool with Tim.
Like, you're fine.
Tim's cool. He's an OG. He's done his thing. He's a pioneer. He's opened the doors for a lot of people, so. I've never had a problem with him. He might have had a problem with me.
Oh, gotcha.
He's helped me out. I've helped him out. He does his thing, so that's it.
All right. You know what? That was handled pretty well.
I love busting Syfe about it because it's like Syfe gets all emotional. Like, but I'm like, yo, your boy, man. Your boy can show you about it. He's like, no.
I love Westwood to death. He looks like my Uncle Jimmy. I've told you that many times, yo.
He's 7 years.
He looks like my Uncle Jimmy. No, I like Westwood because he used to be in a tunnel early. Like, I'm not talking about early in the day. I'm talking about early in the night when I was there.
Yes.
He was there. And I respected him for always researching and finding out what was hot. But Semtex was in the tunnel, too. I just didn't meet him first.
Yo, Semtex was in the tunnel, too?
Yeah, I get around, man.
Yo, I didn't even realize. I did not realize you were around that long.
Yeah.
You've been doing your thing.
I want to go to London. I want to go this year, man.
Let's do it. Can you invite me?
We were talking about. Sounds bad. We were talking about doing something with Rosenberg. Like, we got to figure out.
Only?
I
stay on it.
Minute,
He's underground. That's why he's cold. Underground.
Yo, please let me know. I've never
get
been.
The decks. Get on the decks, mate.
I want to get on the decks, mate.
Hey, who are you feeling from the UK, MC wise?
He's the better guy.
I'm a little behind right now. I'm liking all the Afrobeat shit.
Oh,
I fuck with I fuck with Malik Berry,
yeah.
WizKid.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the other dude I like? I forgot his name. Who?
Ice Prince should be on Ice Prince.
Ice Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bange.
The Bange, of course. But I only heard he only got one joint.
No.
You got other joints?
Yeah. Afrobeat is like, that's like the new frontier, man. The music.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
That's a new industry in itself. Like, that's going to.
I fuck with I mean, the DJ I listen to, Abronte, and what's the other DJ?
Edu.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know your shit, man.
He's always sights on point. International sight.
In London, I went to the clubs, and that Afrobeat was running the clubs, yo.
So you know about Fecky?
No.
Yeah, Fecky's a dope. A crude analogy is like a Walker Flocker from the UK, but he's in it in the streets.
Can I take my problem?
Yeah, go ahead.
I go to London.
Yeah.
I scoop up. What's up, Rob Love? Rob Love, Def Jam legend.
Rob Love, what up, buddy?
I go to London. I scoop up all the new music. Is everybody doing a UK accent when they run? Yeah, I'm sorry. I did it too. I'm sorry. I go to London. I meet a bunch of artists. I scoop up all the new music. I go on all the websites. I get in fucking enthralled with it. Oh, Krept and Conan. That's who I fuck with. I take their record back. I start blasting the shit out of it on the radio. Nothing. I get no reaction in the U.S. Sorry, I'm shaking the mic.
No, you're right, but
so
it's true.
So the problem is every time I get excited about something and try to break it, nothing happens. Krept and Conan got fucking French Montana and Chinks on the record. Video is fire. Some hood shit. Nothing.
But I think, you know, right now you got to look at it. I'm going to get a little controversial right now, and if people get offended, fuck you. But basically, number one MC right now, running the rap games, Canadian. Hottest chick in the game, killing the hip-hop game right now. Iggy Azalea, white girl from Australia. It's a new day, man. Shit's changing. Watch out.
I feel you.
Watch out for Young Lean, kid from Sweden.
Do you think that we're poised to see a UK rapper finally blow up in the
Definitely.
U.S.?
Definitely. I think, and much respect to you guys for supporting, and much respect for you guys for, like, trying to break it through. But I think the kid who is going to break it will come through, he'll figure out a formula, and people will just jump on it regardless. And they won't even realize there's a kid from the UK. And that's it.
I don't think it'll be straight hip-hop, though.
Yeah, I think...
Even Drake, when he came out, all that singing shit is what did it for him.
Yeah.
Then we found out he could rap.
Yeah, but with Drake, he's got the girls, he's got the streets.
And he was on TV.
He's got everything. He's got every audience, rap. Yeah. So.
He does.
But I think there's a kid called Skepta.
Oh, yeah, I love Skepta. He was over here. I brought him a couple places. Skepta made a good point, though. Skepta said he wants to live here for a year and try to crack it.
Skepta's clocked the game, and he gets how it works over here in every facet. And I think with what he's got planned, I don't want to be like, yo, watch out, he's the next shit. But, you know, he's going to do something nice.
I'm going to tell you an angle that a lot of artists could use and don't. The reason why Afrobeats is big here is because it plays in the Jamaican clubs. So,
Bomba.
Every Jamaican got a cousin that lives in England or London. The Afrobeats is what's popping in the clubs, whether it's Jamaican music or not. It got the soca vibe to it, though, so they could feel it. And they tell their cousins and all their family about it here. So that's why Afrobeats is cracking in the reggae clubs. So I think UK rappers kind of might have to try to go that same route. Like, Giggs is Jamaican.
I've been telling people that for days.
It's like you're sneaking in.
Yeah. I've told certain MCs, if you want to crack the world, you want to maybe do a mix of the trap.
Is that Mandy?
The rap.
Hey, that's Mandy.
Hi, Mandy.
Shout out to Mandy.
You interrupted him. Hi, Mandy. Just come say hi.
Yeah. A mix of the trap, rap, Afrobeat. That's going to do it.
It's our
Absolutely.
Friend.
Hey, but can I just say I feel really honored?
She give me a hug and a kiss.
You know I'm kind of special.
Mandy, no hug and kiss for me? Sorry, Sam.
This is vintage Cypher Sounds. You know, you were getting vintage Cypher Sounds. Cypher, really. Get a good kiss,
Thank
too.
You. That was
nice. Yo, Cypher, we have a Jewish bond, man. You can't always get what we have.
Can I say I'm just really honored to be on this podcast? Like, you know.
Oh, no, we're not. This won't be on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's joking. He's like,
this will be on the deleted.
Although, I
got to
tell you,
mixtape.
Thanks to the way this event is appearing, this podcast, we got to have to do a proper one with you. When we come out there, we should go sit down with you somewhere.
We should do a show. We should do some big shit, though.
Let's do it.
Well, someone's been talking
to
us.
A couple people.
Someone's been talking
let's
about
go.
Us doing an
All
artist.
All you got to do is put me up in the Ace Hotel in the Shoreditch. Make sure I got a couple bad bitches with me.
Well, Sife.
But We ain't got them Hot 97 budget.
Nah.
What Hot 97? Believe me, you have believe me, you have the same budget.
Put me up in the Ace Hotel. I don't need a suite. Regular room, Shoreditch area. Let's get it popped. Here's the thing. My wife took my wedding ring to get cleaned. So I said, you take that ring off, I'm going Buck Willie. And every day I try to make sure she forgets it. I hide it. You know what I'm saying? I don't let her go clean.
Wait,
it.
So she knows the rule that if you get a ring cleaned, you're allowed to fuck whoever you want, right?
No, it's if I have it off.
That's what I'm saying. And so she's getting cleaned. You're fucking.
Right. Like the way she, I tell her, she got to get her ring clean. She got to go to the spot, clean it right there, put it right back on. Now, if she fucks the jewelry cleaner in that moment,
she's allowed to.
Then okay.
It is what it is.
Other than that.
Well, how could we make a show work in the UK? What could we do?
Well, here's an idea that a friend of ours brought up right now who you probably know. But there's a certain artist out there who lives in the UK who doesn't come here,
right,
who we want to have as a guest on Juan Epstein.
Okay.
Who we would go do the podcast with out there,
then
do a party also.
Yeah.
And maybe come do, you know, radio.
Improv show.
He could do an improv show. We come fuck around for a few days.
Do a comedy.
Do everything.
I think we could really pack a joint out, too. I think we actually get a lot of. I mean, UK is one of our better. London is one of our better cities. It's up there.
I see him
thinking. He was doing real thinking just then.
Please, man, please.
Then how do you bring me out to New York? How do we?
You're always here. You live here. You probably have an apartment in the West Village.
I want to tear down SOBs. Like, you know.
Oh my! Is that what you want to do? You could be there tonight.
Hold on. That's what you want to do? SOB?
Santos, like some shit. I want to be big in New York.
Yeah, so we book you. I mean, it's not much money, but that's what we're talking about. Not much money, right?
Exactly. Here we go.
We can get you on Tuesday on Tony Touch.
Oh, yeah, Tony Touch.
In London.
You should start out doing Toka Tuesdays. We'll holler at Tony Touch. You do Toka Tuesday to set it off. That's a cool crowd. You build it from there. Come back next time, do Santos.
Cool, man.
You could probably fit in with the Q-Tip DJ Soul Party, potentially. There's some options.
Okay.
But, type, don't let him flip it on us. He's bringing us first.
Yeah, you got to bring us first.
Oh, you got to bring us first. We asked first.
What's first in the alphabet? L, London.
So which way does that mean? Does that work for us or work for him?
No. We go alphabetically. We go
London first, then New
United
York.
States.
Yeah, all right.
Or New York.
What if you want to do a gig in D.C., though?
Huh? No. Or America.
I don't care about D.C.
Well said. Oh, yo, you want beef?
Nando's in D.C.
Oh, for real?
There is Nando's in D.C.
Listen, if you could, whoever opens a Nando's in New York is a millionaire.
Right. I'm telling you, my goal.
Printing money.
Do they franchise? Are they a franchise?
Yeah.
So why can't we do it? I'll do it. Let's go.
Yo, printing money. Yeah. Like, you be like, fuck hip-hop.
Why can't we do it?
Write this down.
Yeah, Saif, but include me. I want to do it. You want to get on it? How about the three of us start a restaurant?
Yeah, I cook chicken.
Cook chicken, no problem. Semtex, where can people internationally hear your shit?
I'm on One Extra every Friday night, 10 to 1. A lot of hot artists, UK and US, play the best new music. I'm always looking for new music to blaze, no matter where it's from. Like, you know, it's cool being here and it's cool waiting for artists when I interview them and stuff like that. But, you know,
you're over it. Say it. You're over it.
I'm not over it, but if you guys can tell me who's hot, like who I should be hooking up with.
He was asking me this. He was like,
"Who's trouble, man? I'll go wherever."
You'll go out and do something there. He was asking me. So if you asked me around the country, I'd probably come up with more people than in New York. He was asking me who's new in New York, who's got a thing going besides Shmurda, obviously.
Troy Ave.
He knows about that. That's already.
Oh, that you don't know about?
Yeah, like that's new. Yeah. Like that's new.
Shmurda has a thing.
There's a Shmurda thing. I mean,
is there a Shmurda thing?
I don't know if it's in New York. I don't know if it's a New York Shmurda thing.
It's big.
But he said he's killing UK.
The song is big. What? Oh, how about how's his other songs?
People like him. This shit's gonna blow.
All right.
He said in UK there. He said he sold out and people are really.
They went to see him.
It'll sell out straight away.
Did it sell out yet? Or you say it will sell out?
No, he's not been out there yet.
Oh, okay.
He's got to sort out the implications.
But that's what I'm saying is part of the problem with artists.
It's also
like
part
that,
of the appeal.
When
though.
You're 20 years old, I guess. I'm not into this Keith Chief shit.
I know. Keith Chief? You said it backwards.
No, Keith Chief. He's out of Kansas City.
He's out of, it's a different someone else. Kansas City Chief.
Yeah, Keith Chief, man. Big up.
Is Chief Keef big in the UK?
Yeah, huge.
They love him.
He did a sell out.
He'd sell out too.
If Migos, Young Thug, or Shmurda came out, it would sell out straight away.
Let me tell you what happened if you had Migos, Young Thug, and Shmurda in one place. Something not good. Let me tell you, Migos, by the way, who I really do enjoy, they performed
Migos,
the other day at the.
Oh.
What, like them or don't like them?
Love those guys.
So Migos did the. They get how to make songs.
Yeah,
we've
yeah.
learned. They make hits. Migos makes hits.
I like the flows, though. The flows is dope.
They have a different. They, first of all, they cultivated their own rap style. Second of all, they make hits. By the way, Onyx on stage. Man. I would be curious to see the reaction to this.
Oh, Onyx?
Yeah, like, too bad we're not allowed.
They cultivate their own rap style.
Their flows are kind of their
ain't
own.
Doing shit but Freaky Tie.
Oh, okay, fine. But
show
still.
Me the pussy. I love Migos.
Yo,
I,
are
I
people reacting to Onyx?
What's that?
It's like they're doing Throw Your Guns, man. I want to see that.
You're looking at it right now.
Oh, that's right. This is basically what it would look like, isn't it? We're watching a TV monitor. They have the Onyx logo in the background, and Onyx is performing. Unfortunately, no Big DS, but Onyx is performing Throw Your Guns right now.
How do you feel about this 30th anniversary? 30 years.
It's a fuck fest, and it's not official. Apparently, I just learned it's not really official. This is not, you knew that already?
Yeah, of course. There's no way this is official.
You know what? Not even about the show. The fact that Def Jam's 30 years
old. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, Def Jam, poof. Def Jam.
What was your first experience with Def Jam?
He flipped it on us.
Like,
he flipped the podcast.
Music-wise, or like actually meeting
experience,
people?
Experience,
yeah. Just answer the question.
First experience with Def Jam.
All right, I'll let him think. My first experience interacting with Def Jam is they were one of the first labels that I got on the college list for. And when I got to the University of Maryland in my first semester there, I received a package with that In My Lifetime Volume 1 promo. One copy only. I was only on the one copy list at that point.
In My Lifetime Volume 1, the album.
The first non-Reasonable Doubt album. Is that In My Lifetime Volume 1? No. The Reasonable Doubt. I remember Volume 1. The first one after Reasonable Doubt.
Volume 2 is the hit.
Yes. Volume 1 had album. A million and one questions. And I,
a million.
That was the beginning of me starting to get records, was from the college
promo
department.
Where did you first see what was your first, like,
interaction with the label? Like, but no, understanding of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it predates everything. I had the cassette single for Children's Story. That goes way back.
I don't even remember. Yeah, something like that.
There was so much. Third base.
I don't know. I'm from the Bronx. The term Def Jam was just always around. Like, I don't know how you would hear it.
Me and Semtex just envy you for being so close to it. That it was
so,
a thing,
it was
people.
It was just in the ether.
It was everywhere. I was in the park.
What's the most important Def Jam album ever?
Great question.
Okay, now we talking.
Now we're having a conversation, Semtex. Thanks for making this a podcast.
Important?
Important Def Jam album of all time. What? Do you have an answer, by the way? Yeah. Oh, I want to hear it.
Public Enemy takes a nation of millions.
Why important?
Changed my life.
Important to you?
You know what?
A lot of people. There are a lot of people.
That album educated a lot of people. Sonically, it's totally different. I don't think even to this day nobody's made anything else as challenging.
To this day?
Yeah.
Kanye?
Kanye's dope, but it's not as challenging as what they did, and it takes a nation of millions to hold us back. Everything from the cover, the music, what they were saying.
Yeah. Even stylistically. Shit, I mean, even when you go back and listen to Chuck D and hear how different Chuck was as an MC, Chuck doesn't sound like other rappers. Sometimes he doesn't rhyme. He's just this incredible poet.
He was like 40 then, right?
He was 41 then.
So it's like...
I think it's a good choice.
I don't want to get into this Chuck D situation, man.
Don't worry about it. I'm no fine Chuck. With Chuck D. You can say whatever you want about Chuck D.
But I'm saying with Kanye... I think he's a modern day byproduct of that, and I'm a Kanye stan, and you know he says a lot of things other rappers won't, and he's done it, you know. But I think for Public Enemy, what they did with that album, for me, greatest album ever, most important album of Def Jam.
Most important album of Def Jam. All right,
Saif, let's go to you.
I'm not gonna.
You and lists. White guys love lists. We spend time doing this all day,
even in the
UK.
If I
apparently,
I had time to think about it on the spot. I'm not good. I don't know.
I think that's
Slick Rick was pretty. Important at the time.
It's like
not,
they're performing Shifty right now.
Yeah, they are. But it wasn't as, I know what he's saying, important.
That's the thing. That's why you made a great argument, because I could argue
how long he's been fucking cultivating that answer.
I know, he's been working on it for 7 years.
He didn't even let us answer first.
He was like, hold on, I have an answer. Yo, but I think it's a great, I don't think, now if you say the best conversation.
Montel Jordan,
100%. Montel Jordan. Something for the honeys.
The best album of Def Jam, Montel Jordan.
No, let's talk about the worst album in the history of Def Jam.
The worst album?
Well, I mean, and don't get me wrong, there's plenty.
It's between Domino and Boss.
It's between the first, what's the first one?
Domino and Boss.
And Boss? No, the Boss album has joints, man. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. Boss has 3 songs already off top that make it better than other albums.
Who's Boss?
Deeper.
Are you talking about Dej Loaf? New Boss.
Yo, by the way, I want to get Boss on the podcast, because remember when people started
Loaf is Boss on Undercover Boss.
Yo, that is crazy. That is hilarious.
Most slept on Def Jam album.
Oh,
this guy, here we go.
Come on, you already have one of those too?
The Crew.
Crew's a great album. Crew's a great
Touché.
Fucking album. Good call, Touché. My friend. The Crew album's fantastic.
Crew album is one of my favorite albums of all time.
That's a very good one.
The Red Cassette.
It was red? That's a very good album.
I got to say, Sy, you offended me as a Jay-Z fan.
Oh, here we go.
I offended you?
Yeah. And you were...
Son of a bitch.
Disrespectful about Jigga's verse on Monster.
Oh, God, that verse.
Goons, goblins, gargoyles.
He doesn't say gargoyles, I don't think. He does?
Yes, he does.
He says gargoyles?
That
goons,
verse,
goblins,
on,
monsters,
sir.
Ghosts.
Goons, goblins.
But I was like, I like that verse. I was like,
yo, but it's just...
What's up with goons and goblins?
Because
shit?
Why would you start... It just seems like a... For such a genius, it seems like a very obvious way to start the verse.
He's rapping about monsters.
He's rapping about...
He listed every monster.
He listed every monster.
Loch Ness.
Even Sasquatch. Are you wrote it down? Do you have them written down? Loch Ness. Is Loch Ness a monster? That's a whole separate conversation. I mean, Loch Ness, we know, is a monster. What about a Bigfoot? Sasquatch. Is Sasquatch a monster?
Sasquatch.
He says Sasquatch.
I don't think it's a monster.
He says it. He
but Sasquatch is a large animal.
It's still it's monstrous.
It's monstrous.
If it tries to rip your head off.
Hey, Semtex, real quick, I have a question for you. Is the song called Monster or is the song called Monstrous? Thank you very much. Argument over. Okay? It's not a monster. It's not a monster. Yo, I'm glad you brought
that
up.
Get online, yo. No, that first... I mean, my... Oh, shit, I just found it. Hold on.
I'm mad that you really caught me off guard with that great question about underrated Def Jam albums, because there are a lot of them. Yeah, the Onyx album is honestly... Back to Fuck Up's underrated.
Yeah, definitely.
People don't really hold that in the status they should, although when Syfe brought that up, he almost got killed for saying it. No, that was Keith Murray. Syfe goes, Keith Murray, your album's underrated. He's like, what you mean underrated? And Syfe was like, abity, abity, abity.
Most emotional Def Jam tune.
Oh, you have this on the list, too? The most emotional?
Daddy's Little Girl.
Daddy's Little Girl. Great choice, Syfe.
DMX Slipping.
I'm slipping. Falling. DMX had a lot of emo songs, though. I mean,
slipping, man.
This nigga had a plane ride of fucking...
Yeah, he did.
Let me go online on the plane and find...
He wrote down every...
What it is, like, I live with this shit on a day-to-day. And, you know, you can share these moments with the listeners, but it's good to be with yourselves right now. We can really talk about this shit.
Other people who...
Everybody's enlightened enough to talk about such things.
Right, know? No, when you go to a certain level, it's nice to have that. What about the Downtown Science album, guys? How about that? That was on Def Jam. No? No takers? What about...
Favorite Redman album?
There you go. Good question.
What the album... That was amazing. The way
you got to get the thing closer to him, by the way, Syfe. He's super quiet. You want to get yelled at? Yeah, he's hating on you big time. What you like, what the... I don't know. I think Muddy Water's up there, too.
I'm going to jump in now.
What do you got, Syfe?
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness, Goblin, Ghoul, Zombie with no conscience. What do these things all have in common? Everybody knows. I'm a motherfucking monster. He doesn't say gargoyle. I could have sworn I heard gargoyle.
Made up gargoyle, you
Maybe
piece of shit.
Maybe it's a remix. Sorry, what were you saying?
More important, what did he miss off the list?
What monsters did Jay-Z forget? Yeah. I know.
He didn't do vampires.
By the way,
vampires,
I gotta tell you something. You have a tendency to say this to people. When you're joking around with people who you know, but I don't know if you know them that well. I'm not talking about Semtex. I think we're talking about PMD earlier. But it's not the first time he does. You do this all the time. Yeah. You have a line that's very me to say that I'm surprised you say.
What's that?
Because you say to people you don't know well, you go, you're a piece of shit. I don't know that people like that. I don't know that people like being called a piece.
Who did I say that?
PMD.
I did.
You're like, you're a lying piece of shit.
Why?
Like
that.
You were joking. You were just being sarcastic.
What was I talking about though?
Your mom. You were like, you fucking my mom, and he was like, yo, listen, you're a piece of shit. People don't like that. And you've done it before. You love to.
They know I'm the funny guy. Yeah, I gotta leave.
Is it over already?
Is there anything else we can say?
What a Def Jam of Def Jam. That's good.
Muddy Waters. No, what the album? I don't know.
It's a very tough sit. That's very, very tough. I mean, you know, you think I would have... We've had enough time to think about Def Jam and had enough conversations to think about these things.
Yeah.
Also, I'll tell you another problem with Def Jam. They never go away, so you don't treat them nostalgically as much as you would like a sleeping bag or a profile where you can name the five hot joints and the five whack joints.
Yeah. No, I mean, they've had artists that are big right now.
Yeah. Nah, it's true. It's true.
Yo, are you here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Come to my improv show.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Tomorrow night. Yeah, hit me up. You got my mobile.
I don't think I have.
You don't have his mobile?
Nah, I haven't. Hold on a minute. Your friend's got your mobile number, though.
Damn.
I don't know
if
he does.
Hey, Syfe, part of me feels like, what do you think the chances are, and I don't really think about it that much, but at this non-official Def Jam fiasco,
yeah,
What are the chances of me having some sort of uncomfortable run-in after you leave?
Oh, hi.
Maybe I'll wrap it up. Hey, what are you guys going to do without us? We haven't gotten shit for you. Were you hoping there? Were you already going to come here? I'm talking to the Hot 97 video team. Were you already going to come here, Maritza, before we were doing this? You're here for us?
Oh, my God. We're giving you shit.
Were you not? But Semtex, you were amazing. But I think we were expecting to have like a we almost Semtex, had Gabrielle Union, but she took a big shit on us.
What's your background? You're like your ethnic background.
Oh, Sierra Leone. It's a bit of everything. A bit of Jamaicans, mostly Sierra Leonean.
Wait, what is it?
Sierra Leone.
Oh, Sierra Leone.
Yo, you got a motherfucking problem with that, Zach? You want
to
problem?
Hear what he said. He was
you got a problem
English.
With Sierra Leone?
Yeah. Hey, that's another thing.
Like, what?
It went into English mode. The phone number.
People don't understand what I say out here. I have to shout at taxi drivers a lot. Like,
I'm so jealous you have a British accent. It's amazing. My fake one's
automatically
not even...
puts the code in front of it.
Yeah.
00011995511O.
Sif, before I let you leave, I have a question for both of you guys. Yeah. I leave for Japan Monday.
Oh man, I'm jealous.
Guys, I gotta break out, man. I gotta see no friends.
So. Okay.
You do? I was about to say, don't say you have interviews to do because there ain't nobody here.
Yo, please hit me tomorrow. Come to my show.
Definitely.
Right. Semtex, it's a pleasure, buddy. Love you, man. Take care
of yourself.
I wish
I would have known you here. You could have did my show.
Hey, and you got to send me a text. I give you my number, yeah, so send me a text so I have it.
All right. Yo, text me now so I have it.
Yeah. All right. Sif, before I let you leave, Tokyo.
Tokyo.
I have 4 or 5 days. What am I doing? What should I do?
Fuck. What are you into?
I want to, like, dirty. I want to do one of the
45s. Yeah. Well, no, the 45 shop I know is reggae.
I still would go there.
But they have, actually, last time I was there, it closed down.
All right, off to a good start. No, hold on, you got me all wrong. What I was thinking about doing was one of those Japanese, like, porn things where I run up and jizz on a girl when she's not paying attention.
I don't know, I've never seen that. I've never seen the machines where you could buy dirty underwear. I've never seen it, but it exists.
Okay, well, what about this? Can I get a blowjob from a random slut and have it be blurred out when I look down at my own cock?
Oh, you want a pixelated pop.
That's what I'm looking for. No, do you have a restaurant? How about a restaurant in Tokyo?
Do you have a translator? Do you have somebody that's going to be with you?
There'll be people from Red Bull.
It's very difficult without a translator. Very difficult.
Everything?
Especially like it's because I don't eat pork. It's very hard. And it's like, I would just like, you need someone to ask and you got to tell them exactly what you want to eat. Because... first of all, a lot of the restaurants aren't on the street level, so you don't just see them.
You have to go know where they are.
Because they're up on the second. Like, you'll go to a restaurant, it's on the fifth floor. You'll go in a building, and it's a big, dope restaurant. You're like, oh, why is it on the fifth floor? That's, like, how they do it. There's no space.
And so the building may be a residence?
Like, there's, like, a store in the bottom.
Okay.
Like a.
But then there's a lobby.
Nah, you can't. Like, there's signs, but you can't read them. You don't know the signs.
Perfect. Semtex is back.
You know what I'm saying? Hold on.
I brought an English chick along. This is Amy, my producer.
Hi.
She's very English. Listen to her talk.
Oh, Amy, come say something super English.
Hello.
What's happening?
Not much. Just waiting around.
Yeah.
Good.
Waiting on cue, if you will.
Is
you guys don't say
English?
If you will. What do you say?
No, if you will.
If you will is American,
is that
isn't
good
it?
English or?
If you will is American talk, I realize. But cue. On cue is British talk.
Is it?
Don't you guys say on a queue?
In the queue. In the queue.
In the queue.
Yeah, so
sorry.
In queue.
Damn it.
That's what British people do.
They
get
in queue.
Queues. We love to stand in queues.
You love to stand in
we
queues.
We do all the time.
Were you offended by Snoop Dogg calling Iggy Azalea cunt? Because you guys throw that word around willy-nilly.
Yeah, it's a really offensive word.
So
every British movie says it like
all the time.
All day. Like, you fucking cunt.
It's all the time. And we're saying in a room full of people.
It's still a very offensive word, though, I think, even for British people. But I think maybe because it's, like, quite a British word, that's why they like to throw it around a bit.
It is quite a British word.
You know what's offensive? What's your name, Amy?
Yeah.
You want to know what's really offensive? Acting like this is a real fucking press room. I'm leaving.
You should have just dropped the mic. It should have just been cuckoo.
I'm going to break your mic.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Your accent is amazing.
You have a perfect thanks. British accent.
Oh, thanks very much.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from London.
Yeah, what part?
I live in North London and Happy Palmer's Green.
What's your team? What's your team? Say it.
She doesn't have one.
Say it.
She doesn't like football.
No, I have a problem in that my parentage is split. One side is an Arsenal fan, the other side is a Spurs fan.
And you,
so what are you?
I mean, I don't see a lot of red on you. I don't see no Goonerisms.
I wouldn't say I was a Gunner, no.
So you can't.
Fuck off.
Fuck off, mate. So you can't even say what your team is.
I don't.
I just ordered 3 Gunner hoodies online, bitch. That's what I do. Blue, red, gray, and a gray t-shirt with purple writing.
Yo, you're a poser. Name a player. Name a player.
Jack off.
That's not a player. You just said the word jack off. That doesn't even count what you just said. All right, Amy, okay, we'll catch leave. You on the other side of the pond, mate. Take care. Sife, this has been really good.
Sheboygan.
Sorry?
I want to give her the Sheboygan.
Now, do you want to give her the Sheboygan because of how she looks or because of how she sounds or both?
Just sounds.
This is alone.
Yeah.
She's a great.
Not bad.
No, she's cute. She's
not
a. She's
that accent gets me every time.
Ooh. Aren't you
my
used to it?
It's rock hard right now.
Oh, my God. We got to wrap this thing up. Your dick, I'm talking about. Guys, listen, I want to apologize for this being the piece of shit that it was, but here's what you have to respect about us. We tried. We tried for the listeners to come out here and
this
make something
happen. This press room is a piece of shit.
It's shit in here, miss. Warren. Warren G.
What up, man?
How are you?
I'm fine.
When I just say that, Warren, do you know what song I'm singing?
Huh?
Do you know what song I'm singing when I just hit the Warren with nothing else?
G.
You know which song?
I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get it.
Warren G. G'd up.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Blaze
that.
The weed
Blaze
up.
The weed up.
That's
not a problem. Best to eat up.
That's my shit.
I raise the heat up.
Game don't wait, son.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I ran into you at Powerhouse, Power 106's concert in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Geeked. You caught me geeking. I geeked out when I saw you. Could you tell that I was geeking out when I saw you?
I mean, I just.
I told everyone. I was running around telling people, like, guys, I just met Warren G. And I was telling them because, you know, like, all the DJs I know from Power 106, like, you see these guys around.
Yes,
but, like, for
indeed.
Me, you don't, at least as far as I know, you don't spend a ton of time here.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you around New York, so I was just super geeked to get to see you.
No,
but
it's all good, man.
How was the performance?
Oh, it was cool, man. New York showed me a lot of love, man, and I really appreciate that, man. Every time I come here, everybody showed me a lot of love. I've been walking around in Brooklyn and just hanging out, hitting different spots and stuff like that, and it's been all love, no security, none of that.
No need, man.
Cool. I've been sneaking away from him. He be getting mad.
Oh, you have one.
I've been sneaking off and dipping and just trying to really feel, you know, Brooklyn and you know, Manhattan, everything. You know, just get the real feel, you know, and everybody's been showing me great love, man.
I
really appreciate it.
When you signed to Def Jam, was there a period where you spent a lot of time here?
No, I mean, I would come to do press, I did a couple shows. I used to come and I would go to different events with Russell and Lior, and it was, I would come back and forth, but I was coming a lot. You know, I wouldn't stand like 3 weeks or a month or anything like that. It would just be maybe like 4 or 5, you know, maybe 4 days or something like that, and then I'm back to L.A., back working.
What was your original foray into music? You know, we always knew of you being Dre's brother-in-law. Is that what it was?
Brother.
Actual brother?
Yeah, that's my brother.
Blood brother?
Yeah.
Why is everyone saying in-law? That's what I used to hear.
I don't know.
In the streets of Chevy Chase, Maryland, they were saying in-law, my man.
Yeah, I don't know, but
So is that? So were you just absorbing from the very beginning?
Well, my father, I used to just listen to jazz all day with him, you know, and that's kind of like what trained my ear. And then one day I asked my brother, I said, man, can you show me how to DJ? And he showed me how to DJ, and from there I started DJing, and, you know, then they was rapping. You know, you try to do everything your big brother doing, so I started trying to rap.
What's the age difference, by the way?
5 years.
Oh, that means same as me and my brother. It's a very influential age difference.
Yeah, and actually maybe 6. Let me see, 6. It may be 6. And I would hear the music before it would come out. So I'd be in the neighborhood rapping his verses. And they,
we talking world class?
World class record. Well, I'm thinking I'm dope as shit. Yeah. They thinking I'm dope as fuck, but I was. They thinking I was dope. A super duper MC, and I was rapping his verses and stuff back then before it came out. And then when it came out, they'd be like, oh, you stole it. So I didn't care. But then I kept going and I developed my own, and I started doing my thing. You know, when me and Snoop, you know, we went to elementary school together.
Oh yeah, my god.
Me, Snoop, the twins.
Are you the intro from Snoop to Dre?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, that's a big one. That is hip hop history right there.
Yes, indeed.
How old were you guys? Were you and Snoop when you started talking about rapping?
Well, we was 13 years old. We was in we had the Voltron crew. It was a crew that we had. We sold candy together. You know,
yo, let me tell you about being 13 in the candy hustle when you're 13 years old. I don't care where you live. The candy hustle's real.
For real.
Blow pops. What you need.
Yeah, we worked for the United Teams, and our crew was called the Voltron crew. And we, after work, we would play Get Like Me. And that's when Big Mac Value Packs first came out. And we would sit in the van and just battle, just rapping, just going back and forth. And Snoop was dope, always. You know, freestyling, Antonio Red, the twins, everybody would be freestyling and just rapping. You know, and that's kind of like what helped groom me as far as being on the rap level, you know, as far as rapping. But
what about with the beats?
Music, you know, the DJing, you know, I didn't want to just be one of the guys just around. You know, I was DJing, you know, for Dre and Snoop at the beginning, too. And I wanted to do more. I didn't want to just be a DJ, you know, just be sitting there. I wanted to be involved a lot. So I asked him one day to show me how to work the MPC 60, and he showed me. And after that, I just picked up everything else just by, you know, watching how Dre worked, you know what I'm saying? And he showed me a lot. He showed me a lot and taught me how to really, really make some good records. And
What's your biggest production credit?
Hmm?
What's your biggest production credit?
Wow. I mean, all of my records.
Did you do all of them? That's what I was going to ask. You did all the big
all of my records.
Regulate, this DJ.
Yeah.
All the big ones.
All of my records, being involved with the Chronic, the first Chronic.
So what kind of, let's talk about that. What kind of involvement did you have in the Chronic process? Were you just there through everything?
Well, yeah. What I used to do is, I was turned on by one of my cats named Money B. Not the Money B from Digital Underground, but Money B, who turned me on to a record store called As the World Turned. And so Dre would give me like $100, maybe $150, and say, go get some records. So I used to go, and I'd listen to the records, and then I would bring them back, you know, and I let him hear. I said, Dre, listen to this. You know, he'd be like, that's dope. Or I would take it, I'd sample it into the drum machine. I'd say, Dre, listen to this. He'd like, that's dope. And then he'd take it, and then he'd put his magic to it, like, let me ride. He put his magic to that and cut it up.
You brought him you thought about it for the record, though, first?
I bought that record in Torrance, California. It was a break record. I bought that record, and the Let Me Ride pieces was all cut. So he took it and built that shit, built it. And it was like, wow. A lot of the skits, you know, I was involved in. And just a lot, the whole record, I was involved in helping out with all of it.
So why the decision to go Def Jam and not something that would have been maybe easier and through your brother?
I mean, it, they had a lot of artists, you know, that was at the time, so I didn't want to be waiting. You know, I wanted to get in there.
Well, the game don't wait, Warren.
Yeah, it don't wait at all. So I wanted to get in there and let people hear my music, man. And, it wasn't happening fast enough, you know, over there, you know. So, you know, I bounced out and went and did my thing, you know. And, it wasn't like it was like I was mad or you know, mad about it, because that was my family regardless, you know, period. You know, but I had to get out and be my own man and build my own, you know. And that's what happened. And, you know, and that's one thing that Dre told me, be your own man and build your stuff. And that's what I did.
You can say shit. You're good.
Huh?
You can say shit. Say whatever you want. You're Warren. You can say shit. Say whatever curse words you want, Warren. You're good. Who was Mr. Grimm?
Mr. Grimm was an artist that I was working with. You know, he was my artist, actually.
You produce Endo Smoke, too?
I produced Endo Smoke.
Dang! It's a
classic. I produced Endo Smoke. That's one of my biggest production
credits.
That's
a great record, man.
Yeah, that actually went. It should be platinum now, but it was definitely gold back then. I did the Young Jeezy Leave You Alone record.
Damn, I didn't know you did Leave You Alone.
I produced that.
Dang.
Yeah, I produced that. the snowman came and sat down with me. It was like, he said, man, your album was a soundtrack to my life.
Oh, wow. And, so he said, was just a huge fan. It was like, I got to go work with Warren G.
That. He said, that's what I want. So I said, okay. All right. So I came back to him. I played like 7 tracks. He picked like 4 or 5 of them out of the 7. And he said, I'll holler back at you, OG, in a couple weeks. I got a call. He was screaming and hollering, yo, OG, OG. He said, I got a hit. I got a hit. I said, what's going on? He said, we got a single, man. I said, what's up? He said, man, they played it. They rewinded it. I was like, what is it? He's like, man, I put Neo on it. And I'm like, he wouldn't tell me. And then they called me and said, it's called Leave You Alone, featuring Neo. And
you had another hit.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. And I was happy about that. And, you know, it opened up a whole new lane for him. You know what I'm saying? To let people see that he's not just a trapper. He can rap other 100%. Than that, too.
That's an important
really
record for him.
Give y'all some of this type of stuff.
You always came off as the cool dude in the crew.
I am cool, man.
I know. That's you just, and that's what I was gonna say is that, and then in seeing
yeah,
you,
a motherfucker get me upset, then they'll be like, okay, now I see
so
why
it
they
takes
call
a lot.
That motherfucker
it takes,
the regulator.
But it takes a minute to get you. You seem like
it
an easygoing guy.
It take a whole lot, man. I just like being just easy, liking for things to just go easy, man, and just having fun, man. You know, because life is too short for BS. You know what I'm saying? So I just like, if it's a problem, I'd rather talk about it and try to iron it out and just ease it. And we both come to an agreement and just keep pushing it, you know, and that's it.
I think the first time I realized what a cool guy you were was the scene of you vacuuming in the show. That is a classic hip hop moment.
Oh, yeah.
I remember all my
you
friends.
Got
we
to
just
keep the bus clean.
We just loved that.
I
like,
can't stand a dirty bus.
Yeah, you took that serious. You're like, no, I'm back. You keep my shit right.
Y'all clean this motherfucker up. Y'all ain't gonna do what I'm gonna do.
So, have you and Dre always been close and had that typical older brother, younger brother relationship
always.
That everyone wants?
You know, and it's still like, feel like, it's still like that. You know, even though I'm grown now, it's still like. You know, I still look up to him, you know, as like it was back in the day, you know, and I'm grown. I just talked to him the other day. We're going to have lunch when I get back to L.A. and just chop it up and catch up, man. Yeah.
Warren, I think I said this. I don't know if I said it to you or if I just thought it. But when I saw you in L.A., one of the reasons I geeked out is you are just an important part of this culture that as a kid coming up in the 90s like I did.
Thank you.
You know, it's like I wouldn't have been able to pinpoint if someone – I wouldn't say – if they were to say, who would you geek out to see? I don't know if I would have said Warren G.
Yeah.
But I know when I saw you, I was just like, I saw this – person who was a part of my hip hop love, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man.
You were the album was huge. What did it end up selling? What did G-Funk era sell?
I think it was all together like 8 million worldwide.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
You still get nice checks off G-Funk
yes.
era?
Yes.
Would you have been good just off that? Could you have been good just off the album?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It was. They still come. And one thing that what made that happen is that. I mean, I did pub deals, but then I said to myself, okay, if y'all gonna give me this, if I keep my pub, then I can make this. So I let them get all their money, and then the contracts ended, and then I kept it all. So now everything comes to me when it comes. So, and I know I still got some reserve. Def Jam, open that wallet up.
Yeah, no, Def Jam's still holding on to money years.
Yeah, they got a lot of reserves. I need them. Give it up.
Who is
Todd Moskowitz?
Can I ask you who the white looking Warren G doppelganger with you is?
That's Mike Slice, man. That's a young cat I'm working with right here off the chain.
DJ rap or rapper?
Rap.
Really?
Bitch.
From the West Coast as well.
Yes, he vicious.
So this is a kid you're working with.
Yeah, I'm working with Mike Slice right now. He's a dope artist, man. He gonna really, really set it off. You know, he look different, but that mother when the shit come up out of his mouth, you like, damn, is that you?
All right, I look forward to hearing that. You gotta send me some music.
He's dope, man.
All right, you already know his name is Warren G. Congratulations on everything.
For sure.
Performing, it's been a pleasure to see you
for
as
sure.
always.
It's a pleasure to come get down and. you know.
I want to have you come to the studio sometime and do a full in-depth when Cypher's here, because Cypher had to leave earlier.
Yeah.
We'll do a full proper one, but I wanted to at least sit with you for a minute.
For sure.
All right, Warren G. Wanet. We're still here.
All right, man.
TJ Scratch.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great.
Def Jam 30.
30.
What does it mean to you? I know it's a generic question, but what does it mean to you as a person who has such experiences there and throughout hip-hop?
It means that I'm getting old, and it means that I've traveled a lot and done a lot, accomplished a lot, because I was a part of this label since I was 17 years old. And I'm 46 now, so it's iconic, man. It's a bunch of things, man, just for a business itself, not even music. I'm not even talking music. Just for a business to be in existence that long.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive.
And to still be doing things with big artists now, basically as much so as any time before, it's pretty iconic.
Yes, exactly.
I asked Paris Smith earlier the question, if EPMD was inducted into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame like a basketball player, what team would they go with? What label would they be inducted with? And you don't have to say Def Jam, because that may not be the answer.
No, we would definitely go in under Fresh Records.
You think Fresh Sleeping Bag?
Fresh Sleeping Bag Records, exactly. You got it.
I mean, that's the most iconic moment that the group had. Was
yes, definitely, because Strictly Business, the first album. The second album, Unfinished Business, which was my debut, which actually has the greatest scratches on a chorus of all time.
So what you're saying?
You got to go in under Fresh Records.
I agree. We talked to DJ Twins earlier. They told us that you are the reason they got on. You couldn't do a gig. You couldn't do Saturday Night Live because you had an EPMD show.
Yes.
Allowed them to fill in, and the rest was history. That was with Technotronic?
Yes, Technotronic. So their first debut was on Saturday Night Live.
That's insane.
And then I put them on tour with Madonna.
Yo, the question that people really are asking is, when are you going to have me as a guest on Scratch Vision?
Man, I've been trying to get you on Scratch Vision for about 4 years now.
I actually have a good enough 45 collection that I could do a respectable
set. You don't even have to do 45s.
That's what I want to do. I mean, of course, if I'm with
that's
you.
That's cool.
Although, I got to tell you, man. Listen, I want to tell you guys something. When I get into something, I don't know if you could tell this about the way I do hip-hop, I go in. And so when I went in with 45s, I went in, right? I went ham. And I've bought a lot of records, and
so
I practiced
your weight
a lot.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My collection's, for my position, is good.
Cool.
I have a nice, I can now play like several hours of great stuff.
I've seen you
post.
Yeah, I see you.
But when I say how shitty I feel about my skills, when I watch what you put up on Instagram, I don't even understand how you control 45s like that. It's hard.
It's very hard.
I don't understand. Like, you bring them back like they're 12 inches. Like, it's Serato for you. Like, what does one do to get such control with their hands? Your hands are so light on the records.
Practice. Actually, like, I was cutting like that on 45s back, you know, back in the early 80s. And I got the way I got nice like that, light-handed like that, was I used to watch the Kung Fu movies, the Shaw Brothers, the Five Deadly Venoms, 36 Chambers, Master Killer. And I took that concept when Gordon Liu was walking up the Shaolin Temple up the hill, and they had to have carry the buckets of water, the steel buckets of water with the daggers around their arms, and if they drop it, they get stabbed. They stab themselves. So I took that, and it works. Because it builds strength in your arms.
If your arms are stronger, you're able to keep them up higher and have your hands be lighter on the records. You're not putting weight down on the records.
Somewhat. But if your hands, if you're able to hold something up that long, it makes your touch lighter. So what I did, I went to Modell's and got some ankle weights, 5 pounds, and put them around my wrist and DJ with them every day.
DJ with ankle weights on your arms?
5 pounds for a year. So when I took them off, the first time I DJed without them, my hands were so light.
Yo, this is crazy. This is a gem.
And the reason why I did it, because I didn't have 1200s. I had Techniques B101s, which
belt?
Is a belt drive straight arm. And actually, those was the rack system turntables, the ones that came with the rack system back in the day. But I had a pair of those.
Best DJ.
Sway, cosign, Sway.
I'm crashing. DJ, hold on.
Do you know what this guy just told me?
What?
He just told me. I was asking him how his hands got so light DJing.
Yeah.
This guy DJed with ankle weights on his wrists for a year straight.
Wow, man.
5 pound ankle
weight.
You know
what? That's unbelievable. That shows dedication, man. Can you name another DJ that's ever said that to you?
I've never heard of it. You know a lot of DJs. You ever heard of that?
No, nah, man. And nah, have I'm around Revolution.
King and have Tech. You, King Tech ever put a weight on his arm?
Well, Tech used to do one arm push-ups, vertical.
No, he didn't, did he? Peace away.
Yeah, so.
Oh. It's hip-hop. Trash is moving by.
Yeah, so. When I practice with the ankle weights, with the 5 pounds on my hands, on my wrists, once I took them off, my touch was so light because those turntables, you couldn't scratch on them.
No, it's awful. The belt is an awful thing to scratch on.
So I needed to somehow make my hands light where I can cut and scratch on those terrible turntables. So once I took them off, I was able to do stuff that people were doing 1200s.
Yo, that is amazing. Yo, Pete, come say hi. Come say hi real quick. Come say hi. My brother Peter Guns, come. Oh, get away from the garbage. Move over here. Sorry, Maritza doesn't want you in the garbage. Man. Yo, Peter Guns, how are you, sir?
What's up, man? I'm good, man. You know, filming the show, acting up, same shit.
Talk to us about Def Jam. I'm talking to DJ Scratch about the history with Def Jam. I'm sure you guys have probably known each other for 30-some odd years.
Family.
Your first encounter is with Def Jam music.
LL. I have to say L. And I was trying to sound like L and be L so crazy from back then. And people say, oh, you looked up to L? Nah, me and L's about the same age. So, nah, I was just copying an MC that I loved and admired, and I still do. So that's my earliest encounter with Def Jam was LL.
And much like LL, you are quite the ladies' man, Pete.
Yeah, LL, you know, he did a little better than me with the ladies.
I was going to say, you should have learned a little bit more from him, but it's all right. Yo,
actually, you know, I read his book. He might have been a little worse than me.
See, I'm sure he had a run. Don't get me wrong. He just didn't have a camera follow him. Yo, DJ Scratch,
yes,
Peter Guns, Def Jam 30, we here.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Did you see Tila Rock?
What are you saying? Tila Rock came out?
The very first artist on Def Jam, Tila Rock. He's here. He's,
wow, that's crazy.
He's here?
Yeah, he's here.
He's just around?
Yeah, he's walking around backstage.
I've never seen Tila Rock in my life.
Really?
No, you know Tila Rock?
Yeah.
He's around. Is he regularly around? Is this common?
No, it's not common, but he's here.
Wow, no, I didn't even see that. Yo, peace, Pete.
He's here.
Whoa.
So what's up with Juan Epstein? What are we doing that? What's up with Juan Epstein?
Oh, you haven't known an official Juan Epstein, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, two things. One, I'm recording for Juan Epstein right now.
Okay.
Two,
I need a Juan Epstein.
No, no. Two, you need to come in and do your own official Juan Epstein.
Yes.
Let's pow about. I'm going to Japan next week.
Okay.
How about the week after you come do Juan Epstein?
Let's do it.
Like 2 weeks from now.
And
yo,
he's,
Tit.
He's doing parties.
Tit, come say hi real quick. Yo.
What up? What up?
2 Chainz. Tit, you know DJ Scratch, right?
No, we ain't never met.
You never Scratch? Real quick, I'm not going to waste your time. You got to move. Def Jam 30. You're a part of this iconic label during this run. What does it mean for you to be you're a true hip-hop head. What did it mean for you to be a part of this label in general?
I mean, you already know. You got the legends such as LL Cool J. I mean, a lot of people grace this, the Run DMCs and everything. For me to be a part of it's kind of like a dream come true. It's kind of like going to the league. Def Jam is the league.
It's the NBA. Nah, that's absolutely right. Yo, don't want to waste your time. Go handle your biz. Appreciate you. But, yo, do you get a lot of feedback on that interview we did? That interview... That was a great interview. We have to. Titty boy, 2 Chainz. Okay, so we're going to have you come do an official Juan Epstein. Like, I want you to sit. I have so much to ask you. I might have to do it with turntables. We might have to talk with the turntables in front of us.
I would rather.
Because, you know, Syfe has fat, heavy hands himself. That's why, you know what Syfe uses these days, right?
Yeah.
CDJ Serato. That's all he does. That son of a bitch. Do you want to call Syfe a filthy son of a bitch?
Filthy son of a bitch. You should know better.
You should know. All he uses, that filthy son of a bitch, is CDJs or Serato. I'm at least, when I use Serato, I'm a vinyl Serato guy.
Yeah, I've never used CDJs in my life.
They're the worst. No, they were great at the time. They had a moment
I've never used them. I've never used them.
You would hate it now. Yeah. You wouldn't even enjoy it. It would disgust you. It would be repugnant.
When are we doing a 45 party together?
I'm seeing
you out there.
Well, I have to be honest. Actually, don't worry. If it makes you feel any better, we haven't done one. However, I'm working on a big money party right now with 45s.
Okay.
And your name's getting thrown around quite a bit. I'm throwing you around like I have you on retainer.
Just call me. I'm there.
Who else do you think besides you? Who are the best 45 DJs out there?
It's not even about the best. It's like...
Come on. Don't talk about complaint.
Well, you know what? I'm not even talking about skill-wise. I'm talking about... The dudes who have those joints, Kenny Dope.
Choo!
Kenny's the king. Kenny's the king, DJ Spinner, Rich Medina.
Rich Medina's put me on. I did one gig with Rich Medina, and I probably bought 15 records because of just the gig with him.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he just puts you on to so much stuff. You know, my favorite thing about it is, though, is just like when I got into it, it started off being about finding samples and grooves and all this stuff. And then as time went on, I just started buying the music of my life, the soundtrack of my life.
That's it.
I have every Billy Joel record, every Paul Simon record, because essentially the most important records in American music history up until about 2000 or mid-90s, whatever it is, existed on 45.
And that's what I tell people all the time.
And they sound better. And they have different jackets. And they have different... So here's the thing. So the day it all started for me, when Just came to the Juan Epstein, I started asking Just Blaze about it. And when he explained why he fell in love with it, because
he got the bug 2 years before you did.
Right. Because he was like the last one to get the bug before me. Right. We were both kind of late compared to the people we look up to who do it.
Right.
And when he explained to me why he got the bug, I totally understood, because he's like, at first it intimidated me. I was like, I don't know 45s. Like, I know all the proper... It's very hard to explain, but when it comes to 12 inches, for example, I know what the American version is. I know what the German version is. I know what exists of every record. At first, it was intimidating to me to have to learn what existed. And then as time went on, because I went so fucking ham, because don't ever doubt me in your life, and I went so hard nonstop that before I knew it, I was like, all right, I basically learned what's out there. And now, listen, not in terms of classic soul records, because there are ones. I got to tell you, do you log your records?
No.
So I recently started using... Yo, peace out, guys. Thank you. We'll talk soon. I recently started using an app called Milk Crate.
Was his hairline real?
What'd you say?
His hairline. Was that real?
We just saw a crazy hairline. Talk about it.
It was like almost to his eyebrows. Like,
well, that's why he was celebrating hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? He had a special... No, but I started using this app called Milk Crate.
Okay.
And to log my records, because a big problem I have... is that when you go so ham so fast, you don't remember what you've bought. So you end up rebuying. I don't have enough space.
I have too many records to even log them. Like, it's good that you're just starting, so you can log every...
What do you have? You have like 50,000 45s?
I got about 45s. I stopped counting after 10,000. So
okay, so you're
maybe
somewhere.
Maybe 40, 50,000, sure. Maybe.
So me only being... 1,200 in, I was like, you know what, let me just now, because that is a lot in a year. Right. So I was like, let me stop right now.
But that's still enough where you can log it.
You can log it. Yeah. So now I'm logging it, and you can use these apps where it logs into your Discogs account. Discogs has everything. But my point was, when I use Discogs, I can't always tell what pressing it is on the record.
Right.
Like with 12 inches, I can always tell what the pressing is, pretty much.
I don't really like that site, because they, first of all, these records, the 45 thing has gotten so popular now, that like maybe a Run DMC record is $40 now, you see online, which is crazy. These are records that cost 50 cents.
I know.
So it's good for their business.
If you knew what I paid for some hip hop 45s, but they're really rare ones. The ones I paid for are hard to find.
No,
I gotta tell you, you don't
find 45s are rare. No, stop. Hip-hop, no hip hop 45s are rare.
You're lying.
No hip hop
45s
are rare.
You are lying. You're saying to me that you don't consider. Trying to think of a good example of one that I know you would call rare. Like, a lot of the early 90s ones that exist are not that common.
They're all common.
Common where? Scratch?
Name one.
Okay, this one isn't the rarest that I have or anything, but it's only popped in my head. Snoop, what's my name?
50 cents.
Where?
In the jukebox.
Back then? Where are you going to find it right now?
In the jukebox.
Where's the juke? Where do I get to the jukeboxes?
But you know, if you buy online, that's why you're paying all of that money.
Well, I buy in stores, but I don't see them in stores. But I dig. I don't see hip hop in stores.
I don't know, but
you find hip hop in stores.
I'll tell you a rare hip hop.
Tell me a rare one.
A rare hip hop 45 is Super Lover C, Duda James.
That's beyond rare. They repressed it. It was so rare.
I'm talking about the real one.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They had to repress it because it's not like anyone's had the original one. Right. You have that?
Of course.
How many think are made of something like that?
It was actually like about 3 or 4 made.
Okay, that's rare. Yes, I'm trying to think of. I'm not thinking of a good example of a hip hop record that I find to be pretty rare. But there are rare, man. I dig in
hip-hop,
every store in every city. You're lying.
Hip hop. Because you know, like the hip hop.
You just don't treasure it the same way. That's why you don't think of it the same way. Because you treasure the other stuff.
Yeah,
but I treasure
hip-hop.
The hip hop.
I treasure the records that's like. We call them mortgage fucker uppers because they cost like $2,000, $4,000.
What's the most you've ever paid out spent on a record?
The most I've ever paid for a record is probably about $200. But I have records that's
oh, worth way more than that.
That's worth way more.
You know, the only record that I think I caught the eye of, like, it caught the eye of, like, M's and a couple people. My American pressing, I don't know if it's rare or not, because I found it somewhere random. But the American pressing of Keep Rising to the Top.
Kenny Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
It was a good one. And you know where I found it?
Where?
I found it on
the Black Label? The Black Label? RCA?
Yes.
That's the American, yeah.
Black Label. I found it on Amazon.
And that's a common record.
But it's but right now it costs a lot.
No.
Not that bad. Mm-mm. All right, well, thanks for ruining it. Anyways.
I saw that for like $10.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for shitting on me.
I keep telling them to come see me, man. Come see me.
Believe me, I'm going to come see you.
Come see me. I save you a lot of money.
Yo, I would love that. And not only that, the best part of coming to see you is you're going to put me on to half the records I don't even know.
Do you have Mardi Gras?
No!
See? I told them about a year ago, come see me.
You have a Mardi Gras for me?
I gave Kid Capri two of them.
Yo, my man, don't give away another one of those. Hold on, hold on.
Is that Big Beat?
No. This is just Hold on. You don't have an extra Big Beat.
I got 10 copies.
You're fucking lying. I thought Biz was a liar. You're a liar too? Biz, I love you, by the way, but people say Biz exaggerates his records. It's a hip hop thing. Hold on. You're saying you have Big Beat goes for on eBay. I've seen it on Discogs for $250.
It does. If I ever need some money, I can.
I just ruined my chances. No one has the 45 techniques.
I don't have those.
No, that is a Biz. That is actually a Biz original that exists. Hold on. The Billy Squire Big Beat record is a record I look for at every store in America.
Yeah.
Every time I go out, I look for Billy Squire.
I only gave away one of those before because I gave. I gave DJ Cash Money a promo copy of it because he never saw it before.
Oh,
and Cash Money has like one of the.
Can I see what it looks like? You have a
I'm
picture of it.
I'm trying to see if I have it in here.
Because I mean, the Big Beat is one of the most iconic break beats in the history of hip hop by a dude named Billy Squire, and I've never seen it anywhere.
I don't have it, but it's on my Instagram. It's
you know, you just committed to giving me a copy of it.
But it's like I have
just committed.
But check it, I have a I post two pictures. Like, this is like when I first got on Instagram back in the days, and I lined them up. Like, I took I think 6 copies of Big Beat. So it was called Beets and Eggs. You know, beets, like the vegetable beets. Because I put 6 copies of the Burgundy. And then I put
the Burgundy Burgundy, I know the record.
And then I put all
it's Capital,
the other
right?
copies of the white promo, so it looked like beets and eggs.
And it was all Big Beat.
Yeah.
How do you find that many?
And then I did. Look, check my Instagram. Just scroll back.
I will.
I did one called Runny Eggs, because you know you have like sunny side up eggs. It's the yolk. So yeah, the yellow copies, the Italian copies of Mardi Gras. So I had those leaking, and then. All white copies, promo copies. So it was like runny eggs.
All right. You're making us sick. You're disgusting. His name is DJ Scratch. We'll see you on a future one episode.
So many records, I could just play around like
all
that.
All right. You're an asshole. You know. Love this guy. All right. Def Jam 30. We out.